My name is David Paulson. I'm a member of the Society for American Baseball Research. Today is December 20th, 2000, and I'm in the office of Fred Valentine in Bethesda, Maryland. How old are you, Mr. Valentine?
Oh, 65 as of January the 9th, 2000.
So you're eligible for Social Security?
Oh, yes. I just qualified as of this year.
Good. Okay. Where were you born?
Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Okay. And I guess you grew up there?
No. Nope. I left there when I was about maybe 1.5 years old. My father left, and we went to Memphis, Tennessee. So all of my rearing and raising was done in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. And this was, I guess, probably during the Depression.
Yeah, I would say so. I didn't know anything about it, but that's really what I understand now.
Right, okay. And how did you get interested in baseball?
Well, just as a kid, in my neighborhood, growing up in elementary school, we always was into some kind of sports. And for the whole 12 months, we had some type of sports ongoing. We were fortunate enough to have a big backyard where I lived. And most of the kids would always come to my house for recreational activities. We didn't have access to a lot of the YMCAs in our area, so we had to find a place to go. So we played during the summer softball, corkball, had marbles, then at some time basketball, and during the fall season we would play touch hand football and low games. We had something ongoing all the year round, but baseball really didn't come into play until I actually got into junior high school, and we had a community team set up, made up of kids just in the neighborhood. And we couldn't really afford to buy uniforms and everything, so we just got a group together and played amongst ourselves, and it blossomed out from there.
I guess it was segregated in those days, as far as the teams were?
Very much so, yeah.
And what position did you play at that time?
Organizer, just playing.
Well,
when I first started out, we just played anywhere you wanted to play, and once we kind of organized a team. I started off in shortstop. I was the shortstop and played there for a good little while, up until I got into high school and the coach could see the abilities I had to run, to throw, and possibly to hit. And he felt I had a better chance of helping the team and myself by playing in the outfield, so he put me in center field.
Center field, okay. And you're a switch hitter, right?
Right.
Now, were you naturally right-handed or left-handed to start?
Naturally right-handed, and the only way to switch hitting came into play is because growing up, I always just wanted to be out playing, and sometimes I would go out and play with some kids younger than me or smaller, and to handicap myself, I would hit on the left side as opposed to my natural right-hand side, and I just started hitting over there, hitting balls and cork balls and softballs or whatever, anything. And then all of a sudden it became almost natural. And then once I got into baseball, I decided to try it. And the fact that I really didn't know what I was doing, when I started hitting, I was hitting on the right side, I was hitting cross-handed. Because when I hit on the left side, it was already natural. But when I got back on the other side, I still held it until the coach realized that. And he said, you're going to end up breaking a wrist or something if you really get into highly competitive baseball. So he readjusted my grip, and it all worked out in the long run.
What were you more successful in right-handed, hitting right-handed than hitting left-handed?
On the professional level, they always thought I was a better right-handed hitter for average and power, but naturally, on that level, you had more right-handed pitchers, so I hit more on the left side. So I had, statistically, I had more hits, home runs, or whatever, so on the left side.
More of an opportunity.
Yeah, because the opportunity is there.
Now, growing up, did you have any favorite baseball team or baseball players you followed?
No. Just in Memphis, we had one. At that time, they had the Negro League, the Memphis Black Sox, they call them. And we would go out on weekends when we got a chance, and they were home to see them play. And I just kind of fell in love with baseball as I saw it, and I never could really get a real appreciation for it, because that was the only level growing up as a kid that I could see baseball, other than listening to it on the radio.
Now, you were about 11 or 12 when Jackie Robinson broke it.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the feeling of the people at that time? How did they react?
Well, in my upcoming, just like I said, being raised there in the Memphis, I said, well, here's, we're going to see how it's going to work out. None of us really felt it was going to work out because of the old historical segregated way sports had been conducted. And so everybody was just waiting to see what was going to happen, even if something violent was going to happen to him. But he hung in there, and then once he got up, and particularly when he made his first All-Star game and the Dodgers started setting the precedent, it lifted the whole African-American community in reference to baseball and sports. And that's when a lot of people started focusing on baseball at that time, just like people are focusing on golf now with Tiger Woods. But it was an inspiration, the fact that, you know, African-Americans were given an opportunity to get in, and they could see once they got in how well they could perform.
Okay. Now, played ball in high school, and what happened after that? Did you play any college ball?
I did, but right out of high school, I didn't realize really if I had any tools to go any further. So the St. Louis Cardinals had a tryout camp in Memphis during the time of my graduation. Sure enough, I was playing a little semi-pro, as they call it, organized baseball, and they suggested that I should go out for this trial. So I did, long run. I got there, and maybe 125 more kids there, whatever. They put you through the process of the elimination. Can you run? Can you throw? And so I won in all of the events. I think I was the fastest one in the camp. As far as throwing is concerned, I had pretty strong arm, and not that I was a pitcher or anything. They just wanted to see if you had a strong arm, and they could work with you from there. And then to the point of hitting, that came last in reference to the hitting part. They get up to see how you could swing the bat, and I did okay there. So I passed all of the tests and got down to the final group that they were looking at, and they were trying to decide what they wanted to do with me. And so I went out. I was a shortstop at that time. Fielded balls at shortstop. Put me in the outfield to catch fly balls, cut balls. Then the throwing part was the key. And now they want you to throw from the outfield to home plate, and I did very well there. And so they were kind of mixed up in the motion about where could we put this guy. I really didn't have the hands for a shortstop. That was obvious. Because we were playing in all these rough fields, cow pastures, and we just didn't have adequate fields to field ground balls. So once I threw from the outfield, they said, we're going to try you on the mound to see how well you can pitch. I said, I never pitched before. They said, oh, it doesn't matter. We just want you to throw the ball to the catcher. So I said, okay, that's what you want. Young, strong, and willing. Got out there and pitched to three hitters, three outs. Couldn't walk anybody. Get the ball before you start over. So I might have a chance now. And all they wanted you to do is throw fastballs. That's all I did. I just got out there and got loose and started smoking them up. I think I walked maybe one person, and all the rest of them I struck out. So then they were really confused and what they're going to do with me. So what they did, so they went back, wrote up the reports, and long story short, they invited me to St. Louis to come up for a trial, work out with their team. And I did that. And at the end of 3 days up there, which worked out fine, I couldn't believe a professional stadium could be that well kept. Got out there and as a shortstop, naturally.
Was that at Sportsman's Park at that time?
At Sportsman, yeah. And sure enough, the carpet, so I just said, how can anybody miss a ball on the ground like this, you know? And so I did okay. Then they put me in the outfield, did okay out there. And the hidden part came up, which they were concerned about. So as a switch hitter, a young kid and out in high school, I was hitting balls in the seats, right-handed and left-handed. Because I hadn't been playing in no stadium before. I'm playing in open fields. A lot of the balls I was hitting in the seats would have been caught where I had been playing before, and because there was open field out there. And they were amazed at that. But to me, I said, it's just normal. Hit the ball where I've been hitting it all the time. So long story short, they wanted, at the end of the 3 days, they brought me in and wanted me to sign up. They were interested in signing me right then. And they offered me about a $500 contract, $500 bonus, and a B contract to go off. And my concern at that time, I indicated to them, I said, well, no, you're not giving much of a bonus. Of course, $500 at that time was a lot of money. That was 1953. And I said, I'm just concerned about going to school. I said, how about giving me a 4-year scholarship to school? You keep your bonus and I'll take whatever salaries we've got to agree on. They said they had never heard of anything like that. I said, well, you're giving out bonuses to other ball players. Well, I don't know the amounts, but you're giving a lot of big bonuses out. I said, I'm not asking for that. I'm just asking for an opportunity to go to school. He said, we have to think about it. Sure enough, they went back, thought about it, and had me to stay over another day, and came back the next day, and they all caucused and said, we can't do any better than the $500 signing bonus and the $500 salary. I said, well, I'm going back. I'm about to go back. I have a 4-year scholarship to play football at 3 schools, which is guaranteed me an education. And I'm just going to have to take it. And they said, you can't do that. I said, you can't do what? You can't go play football. You're going to mess up your baseball career. I said, maybe messed up, but still I'll have an education. That's my only concern right now is going to school. And sure enough, they kept hounding me, trying to persuade me to take this offer, even through my father, that I decided they wouldn't come through. And it was only $1,000 a year to go to state black college at that time. And so they thought that was too much. I was asking.
So it would have been a $4,000.
A $4,000 package, yeah. And so I ended up taking the scholarship for football.
What school was that?
Tennessee State in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. And what were the other two schools?
It was Alabama State and it was Mississippi State. And they all gave me the same offers to play quarterback and a 4-year, because that was the thing going, 4-year scholarship for school. So I played 3 years football at Tennessee State. Made Lilal, which was at that time they had still segregated, a black All-American, and still played 3 years of baseball there at Tennessee State. And naturally, at the end, I had 3 years to go into the NFL as a defensive back.
I was going to say, you played defensive back in college?
Well, you played both ways during those days. I played quarterback on the offense.
One platoon.
And then I played safety on defense.
The NFL didn't want any black quarterbacks?
No, just none was in existence then. Willie Woods left the year before me, and he left college and went on off to Green Bay and ended up a defensive back. And they were looking at the same thing. And when the offers came about, he said, we have an interest in you playing football, would you be interested? I said, interested in to play what? Where? And I think the first one was, may have been Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and I think the other one may have been St. Louis. But they said, we're defensive back. safety. We know that you can run, you're a good tackler, blah, blah, that. I said, what about quarterback? He said, we don't have a need for quarterback right now. This is what we need. I said, okay, thank you. So then I had 5 offers again for baseball. It had gone up that 4. So I ended up, long story short, taking the offer from Baltimore. They made me the best offer at that time. I had a friend that was playing with the Orioles named Bob Boyd.
I think he still holds the single-season record for hitting, you know, one season.
For one season,
Bob Boyd.
Yeah, and he's from Memphis also, and he was playing with the Memphis Black Sox at that time, and he ended up going up, and I signed up at Baltimore right out of school. I was at school 3.5 years. I finished up in 3.5 years, and in 1957, I signed with the Orioles, and from there, went on off to the minor league.
Okay, now, we get you down for 56 at Vancouver.
That was the first year. 56 was my. They just went up there for about a month. I signed up right at the end of the season in 56.
Yeah, got 5 games there.
That's right. It was, and they just let me go up and see what it was like.
Now, I guess that's about the furthest you've ever been from home, right?
You better believe it. Right out of Memphis.
And also a foreign country.
Yeah, plus a foreign country. When they told me that, I couldn't believe it. They said, you know, I had read about it in history and school and everything. I said, well, what are we going to do? I was part of the all offer there, the Baltimore name. They really was concerned. Jim Russo was the scout.
Did you get a bonus when you signed?
Yes, they gave me a bonus, which was, I was satisfied with that. And Russo came down and he signed me up and turned out to be one of the super scouts in the baseball. God bless him, he's gone now. Said, what we want to do along with the bonus, we're going to give you a vacation. I was out of school.
Yeah.
As opposed to you going back and playing semi-pro here in the league, we're going to let you go out and spend some time with a professional team.
So this would have been sort of in the summer of...
It was a summer, yeah. I had come out the spring of 56. I had finished all my classes. And it was just a matter of what am I going to do with myself from there. So I decided to sign up, and they let me go and spend the rest of the season itself with Vancouver. And the next year, 57, is when I went to Aberdeen.
Right. So you played pretty much the whole season, 121 games there.
Yeah.
Okay, you played, was it center field you played?
Center field.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And Aberdeen, where was that?
South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Another foreign country.
Who was the manager of that team, remember?
I don't.
And did you play against any prominent players who or later became prominent?
Played against, let's see, through that leg they had quite a few players that eventually go up. Left-handed pitcher for Philadelphia, Steve, just probably going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Carlton.
Against him there, and then Northern in the Carolina League, played against Manny Moto.
The bench hitter, right?
Bobby Barnes, the outfielder, and Moto. Yeah, they went on to eventually end up with the Dodgers as a great pinch hitter.
You had 271 that year with Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in the playoffs or anything like that?
No, we didn't make the playoffs. Steve Delkowski was with us doing that year up there. So
the fellow had the great baseball?
Yeah. He was one of our pitchers. And we didn't make the playoffs, but it was a learning experience for all of us.
The next year, in 58, they send you to Wilson in the Carolina League. At least you're a little closer to home now.
Yeah, it's a little bit warmer there.
You had a good year there, 319, 16 homers.
I met the league and hitting doubles, triples, stolen bases. And I was the most valuable player of the league.
And then in 59, you went to Miami. And you played the whole season there.
Yeah, I spent the whole season there, and at the end of the season, Baltimore called me out.
Right. Okay. Also, you led the league in at bats. You had 614.
I was leadoff hitter.
Played pretty much every game then.
I played them
games.
All. Yeah, played them all.
You were leadoff hitter?
Yeah. Throughout my whole career, they've been leading off because of my speed, I guess.
Okay. So you came up to Baltimore at the end of the season. And what was your impression, your first big league game? You played 12 games that year.
I thought, you know, with the experience I had a chance of playing. I always had a vision of what it would be like to be there. And once I got there...
Had you seen Memorial State previously?
No, that was my first time seeing it.
And you remember who you got your first hit off of?
No. I just know the stadium I got the first home run was in L.A., but I don't know if I got my... I still don't know if I got my first hit off.
Well, you only got bat 19 times, but you hit 316, which is a good way to start off. Okay. However, in 1960, you were back with Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you went... Did you go to spring training with the Orioles?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Went to spring training. They were loaded, but outfield was in Baltimore at that time. They were trying to do something. And sure enough... After I'd had that year in Wilson, leading the league and everything, they thought I had potentials, but they had Gene Woodland, Tasby, all these old-timers in the outfield with Baltimore, and they felt I had more time to get there than they had remaining. So they said, we'll let you go back to the minor leagues. That happened.
Okay, then. Next year, you were with Rochester, another farm club.
You're right. Orioles. That's a Triple-A farm club.
And you led the league in at-bats again.
Yeah.
Okay, you hit 267. And actually, you were there 62 and 63 also.
Yeah.
And last year, you hit 309. Then you came up with Baltimore again towards the end of the season. Okay. Now, apparently... the fall of after the season, you were traded to Washington.
Yeah, at the end of the season, we were playing in Baltimore against Washington. And we had played, I think I played that last game, and everybody was packing up to go home. Had a pretty good, decent game, and a couple of hits. Got in the car, dressed up, packed, had covered already, packed, and I was on my way back to Wilson. That's where my wife, eventually wife, was. And where I was staying. So I was on 95, headed back to Wilson about 1 o'clock in the morning after all of the games were finished and everything, and the news came on and they mentioned the fact that Washington Senators and Baltimore Orioles had made a trade. I guess they knew that before I left, but they didn't have the guts to tell me. They traded Fred Valentine from Baltimore to Washington. Shit, that woke me up. I was a little bit asleep there on the highway. That gave me a big shaker there. But I think it was in the wills to be because they still had a lot of outfielders there in Baltimore at that time. And that was one opportunity that paid off for me because going to Washington, Gil Hodges was there and in need of an outfielder. And they gave me an opportunity to play. He said, all you got to do is give me 100%. And you're my outfielder.
Who did they trade you for?
Howard, I think it was. Bruce Howard.
Bruce Howard.
Yeah, I think.
Not Frank Howard.
No. he came there later.
He came to L.A. Later. Okay. Okay, so in 64 you were with Washington. Do you remember your first home run?
Yeah, I was in, I guess, the Angels in L.A. I don't remember the pitcher, but I hit the one. It was all happened to be on the road. And which was another good feeling, get that behind you.
And what kind of manager was Gil Hodges?
I think he was a terrific manager, terrific person, and just a bona fide Christian. The only thing he asked of you was 100%, you know, efforts. And I never had a problem with that. The only thing that I felt bad on his part was the fact that he wasn't an Earl Weaver or Billy Martin, somebody that got all of the frustration out of him. He held a lot in. And I think that may have played an eventual part in his death. He just kept too much in and not let it all come out.
Um, Were you playing center field?
For him, I started off playing center field. And at times, he would switch his lineup around. But either I was in center field or right field until Frank got there. And then sometimes when he took Frank out of left field, put him on first base, I would play left, center, or right until I was traded back to Baltimore.
Okay, so that was, you played pretty much the whole year, you played the whole year for Washington. And then in 65, you just played a few games for Washington and you went to Honolulu.
Yeah.
Seeing the world again.
I got called into service for the crisis, one of the crises. And I left Wilson, I went into service also, Wilson, North Carolina, in 58. They put me in the reserves to keep me from being drafted. So I went in and spent, 11 months, got an early out, and then 64, I think it was. 65.
You played 12 games with Washington.
Yeah. 65, I was in Hawaii, but 64 is when I got called into service, and I had to stay in 11 months. Then I came out, they thought I needed some more training, so they sent me to Hawaii.
You in the Army?
In the Army.
You stayed in this country? Or did you?
I stayed in. I never went overseas. But they were just calling in the reserves for the Berlin crisis and all those crises they had during those times.
Okay, so Honolulu, you had a good year out there. I guess you did a lot of flying and traveling at that time, huh?
For Honolulu?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, but nothing but flying. You're home 2 weeks, on the road 2 weeks. Home 2 weeks, on the road 2 weeks. No frequent flyer miles, huh?
Yeah, you hit 324 and you led the league in stolen bases, 58.
Yeah.
That was the best year ever did.
Yeah, good year.
Okay. All right. Then in 1966, you came back to Washington. And actually, Washington wasn't too good, but you did beat out Boston and New York that year.
Yeah.
Yankees finished last.
That was a relief. And we finished up tied with Baltimore, I think, because they had the division set up. So we had a pretty decent year.
With some of the players on the team.
What do you use?
66. That's Frank Howard.
Oh, we had just gotten five guys from the Dodgers. We had Frank Howard. We had Frank. Castanova was catching. Don Locke, Jim King, and McMullen at third base. Brinkman is shortstop. And Lassen game was the second base. And we had a pretty good ball club there.
Who are some of the pitchers?
We had the Indian Chief. We had Rickard.
Was Pasquale with them in?
No, he was with the first team. He went to Minnesota. He wasn't with this club. This is an expansion club. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he came back later.
Was much later. After I left. And then Jim Coleman, that he eventually turned out to be a real good pitcher and ended up trading him. Then they had Pete Rickard was traded to Dodgers. And the pitching coach now was with Houston. Buster Arum. And I think at that time, those were the key pitchers, huh?
Okay. All right. And you played with Washington in 66 and 67. And then in 68, you played for Washington and also Baltimore.
Yeah. Got traded back to Baltimore.
Okay. Was that sort of a mid-season?
Yeah, it was mid-season because Paul Blair got hurt. And they needed another outfielder, and so Earl naturally went through the records, and there I was. I left Baltimore going to Washington, so they brought me back over to Washington in a trade. And it was, matter of fact, it was around July, the middle of July, when the trade was made. And so I finished up the season there, and because it was right. Hank Bowell was the manager, and he got me in a trade, and I was playing for Hank. Then after the All-Star game, they made a change for managers and brought in Earl Weaver.
Why did you make that change? Because Bauer, his record was fairly decent that year.
It was good. Must have been on something with management at the front office, because he was doing okay. The team was doing okay. And right at the All-Star break, he was just let go. Nobody, at least I never found out why. And I never really inquired about it, but I know it affected me, because when Earl came in, he changed the whole structure of the team. And he started building for the future, switching players, trading players, and I was in that group. I wasn't part of his future plans. So they gave me an option to become a coach or to be traded. So I and went to Japan.
Yeah, with the Orioles that year, though, I guess you played with Brooks Robinson, mm-hmm. Jim Palmer.
Yeah, Frank.